Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
One of the lead stories on Herald Live this past week, Nelson Mandela Bay couple's tragic demise. The body of a woman beaten to death discovered in her Boysen Park home. A tragic tale which brings into stark focus once again the fact that the scourge of gender-based violence continues to haunt South Africa. We're less than 2 months away from the 16 days of activism for this year. So to reflect on 2024 and what it's been like from a GBV point of view and a women's rights point of view, we have Leslie Ann Foster from the Masimanyane Women's Rights International Organization joining us. Sad story, Leslie Ann, but one of many sad stories that South Africa has seen this past year.
Good afternoon to everyone. Yes, it is incredibly sad, and there appears to be an escalation in these intimate partner violence incidents where, the women are killed. There's a report that goes around that says that at least 11 women are killed daily in South Africa. Now, that is an astronomical figure if you think 11 women losing their lives every single day.
Horrific.
On average. That's horrific, you know. I think one of the concerns we have also is that the nature of the violence becomes more brutal and really cruel, you know, in the way in which women are killed. This dismemberment of women's bodies is becoming a feature. And if you look at the recent massacres, 15 women killed in the city just 2 weeks ago. That's a new twist to the forms of violence that we are seeing in our communities, and a very worrying one. Because subsequent to that, and there was a massacre of 6 people as well. Yeah, I think it was in Mdansani. And you know, women bear the brunt of this violence, this intimate partner violence. Sometimes it's not intimate partner violence, but it's still gender-based violence when such a large number of women are killed, you know, in one incident. Very, very worrying indeed. And you're talking about the 16 days of activism being just before, a few days away. The reality is that the 16 days of activism doesn't really help us, face the kind of challenges that we are seeing now. In South Africa, we've talked about gender-based violence being an issue 365 days of the year.
Yeah.
And the truth is that it absolutely is. You know, it's that serious. But every single day, women are being killed because of their gender and because, there's an idea that the bodies are commodified. You know, they just kind of belong to the partners they've had or the ex-partners they've been with. And that horrible myth has to, end at some point in time because it's not faring well for our society. I think what we don't realize is the impact of those deaths of women on our society. Very often these women leave children behind, and those children carry those scars into adulthood. They can become violent themselves, or they can retreat into themselves and not be able to, be productive citizens within our societies or within their families and communities. So there's a very big impact on the killing of women by their partners that is not always spoken about. You know, what is that impact to the family? What is the impact to, the community and the society as such?
Leslie Ann, we've been talking about this topic for years. 16 days of activism, although, as you say, every single day should be a day of activism. But the concept of 16 days of activism has been around for as long as I can remember. We talk around this topic. We continue circling around it year after year. Are we making progress? Do you ever find yourself getting despondent? Is there a way forward?
Look, I think, when you do this kind of work, you have to look for the glimmer of light, that we see from time to time. And we see that with young people when we work with them, and we try to change attitudes and behaviors. You know, we work on the intersections of, teenage pregnancies and HIV. And there we're seeing, some progress. So, for instance, with HIV, which is often, the transmission of the infection is through violence, violent acts of sex. We see a drop there in the statistics and the most recent research done by the Human Science Research Council. And that's promising, but in terms of the acts of violence, we're not seeing that change. And there are reasons for that. I think the main reason is that the violence is embedded in the structural challenges that we face, structural challenges of poverty, of inequality, of unemployment, high levels of unemployment, underemployment, lack of food security, lack of water security. So when we talk about reducing gender-based violence, most organizations think of awareness raising or some community kind of programs. They don't work. You know, they cannot work. Lusiki Siki will continue to be a site of extreme violence because of the extreme poverty and inequality in that society. We lack resources in the health department, in social development, in the National Prosecuting Authority, and the South African Police Services to provide the kind of support that communities need in order to reduce the levels of crime. So there are structural problems which I don't think the state is addressing adequately enough. It's not a problem that as civil society we can address. We can address pockets of it, but it won't be widespread. The only institution that can address that is the state. And I think, again, in the state, you have pockets of political will to do that. But mainly, there isn't just enough political will to actually address those problems of inequality. I think also we must talk about corruption, because corruption takes away service delivery. And when you take that, when corruption impedes service delivery, the building of roads, the building of bridges, the availability of clinics and so that kind of thing, then you're taking that away from the communities, and I always look at corruption as a way in which we steal from the poor, which is so, it's so harmful and so frustrating to even think about that. But we need to deal with those structural problems, and corruption is deeply embedded in our society. So, one can think of it as a structural problem as well. But we have to deal with that. And, we will continue as civil society organizations to do community educational work. We do awareness raising. We provide the services, but our reach is limited. And it is also dependent on whether we can access funding and so forth. But funding is, people always talk about that. Funding is a critical issue, but it's not the main issue. The main issue is those structural drivers of poverty and inequality and unemployment that we have to be conscious of. And that's why you find, that there's so much anger, so much frustration, and that all of that spills into violence. So I always think of violence as as an expression of all the inequality that communities are facing. And unless we address that, comprehensively, we're going to continue to see this happening.
I take the many points that you raise, but we also still do see incidents of gender-based violence amongst the privileged and moneyed classes. So there's got to be some sort of mindset component to this as well.
Yeah, well, it's the inequality amongst the sexes, amongst men and women, everybody is affected by it, whether you are highly educated, whether you have, a very good income. And we've heard stories of really wealthy women being, subjected to this.
Yeah.
We know that women in decision making in parliament, in our political system are still subjected to violence in their homes, so that inequality is not there. And the power and control of women, by men is rife. We are a patriarchal society, and the patriarchal society favors men. You even have women who favor men, women who will support that patriarchal society system. And those are the problems that we face. All the shame and blame for violence is put onto the woman. We don't have enough work that looks at how we change males' toxic masculinity into healthy forms of masculinity. And I think that's one of the big gaps in the work that we do currently, is that the organizations who say they work with men actually are just looking at ways to preserve that power and control, rather than looking at transforming the way in which men see women, and also the way in which women themselves, see themselves. It's a very challenging area, because we're all raised in a patriarchal society, so we all respond in a patriarchal way. you know, unless we start to build feminist consciousness. And not a lot of people are doing that. There isn't enough consciousness. Every meeting I go to, we'll talk about, you know, the kinds of inequality that is. And then everybody jumps up and says, but you need to focus on the boy child, which I agree with, but not at the expense of the girl child. And yet everything that we do is focusing, you know, in a negative way on the boy child and not holding the agency and the ability of the girl child to be seen as a complete person that has a right to dignity and respect. So the building of information around human rights, around what does it mean to have dignity? What does it mean to respect someone else? You know, how do you preserve their safety? How do you protect them from harm and danger? We don't have that. You know, it's not in the psyche of the society yet. And I mean, if you look at South Africa, we have so many problems that we are trying to address simultaneously. That gender-based violence and the inequality between men and women is spoken about but not committed to as an issue that needs to be addressed.
Now, these structural changes that are required in society to effect an improvement, those are massive jobs. And even if they are attacked and addressed with the best will and energy in the world, it's going to take a long time to sort those out. If I were to ask you, Leslie-Ann, 16 days of activism for this year, it is what it is. We have it on the books. If we put you in charge of the campaign for this year, what would you like to see it focus on, and how would you like to see it roll out in a way that would be most effective?
You know what I think is, I think that if we had conversations with groups of people, if we have conversations first intergenerationally and also then between men and women, and we build into those conversations an idea of what the impact is, you know, of the inequality. And then we talk about that and we use art and we use drama to show this. Because when we've worked in rural areas and we've used drama, people get the message. They see the violence. They understand the impact of it, you know. And then that kind of thing where we have those conversations, we should be having a national conversation about gender-based violence and its impact. Instead, we're going to have a national conversation now on development. But I think that needs to be infused with the issue around gender-based violence. You know, I've just recently in this week had to deal with the issue of a young woman who was raped about 2 months ago and who then attempted suicide 2 days ago. You know, now those kinds of things, people don't see that impact. You know, both men and women are not understanding that very deep impact of when there is a rape. This is likely to be, you know, an outcome of it. It'll be depression. It'll be self-harm, you know, in many different ways. It'll be an inability to have, you know, proper relationships. But we're not dealing with this stuff. I mean, there's this huge scandal in the Eastern Cape about the heads of departments that are forcing interns within those departments to have sex with them. And they've also, when the girls fall pregnant, forced them to have abortions. But there is no accountability. So for me, the big issue of accountability for all the crimes that are perpetrated, you know, in terms of violence against women. If there's accountability, I think we can begin to see a difference. And I would like to see greater accountability. But there's a cover-up, particularly by people in power, you know, who hide this. And, I mean, we're not talking about one case. Sex for jobs is an old thing. It's been happening in the provincial government since forever. It's happening in the corporate sector, but with no real accountability and no perpetrators being brought to book. They get promoted instead. They get moved into other jobs, and they get away with this all the time. So accountability is a big issue. And then scaling up of the work, of course, that we are doing, that the government says it's doing. And we are seeing some changes. It's not that there's nothing happening. There are changes happening, but the scale of it is minute. And that needs to change.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.